Lowe's has the brands pros trust to get the job done. You can now shop new Catalyst fencing solutions and save big when you do. 10% off when you buy in bulk. Plus, save $180 on a DeWalt 12-inch dual bevel sliding compound miter saw. Now just $449. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/6 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I hope you're awake. Of course, you got a lot of sleep watching that game last night. Boring. I don't care what you say, Trey Wingo. The game was boring. It was terrible. Yeah, that was blue Gatorade, Lance. He got doused with blue Gatorade.
I know. We went back and saw it.
And it made you lose the bet.
Dude, my kids... I put together a prop sheet for all the kids because we didn't have like a Super Bowl party to go to, so I wanted to make it fun for them. So all the kids, and we had snacks, had one kid come over, Jacob. And we did a national anthem. I put the stopwatch on it. Only one person, Alec, had under. Everyone else had over. Watching everyone gathered around my stopwatch.
It wasn't over.
On Apple. I know it was. Yeah. No, we all had over, yeah, and Alec had under. Watching everyone gathered around...
If she didn't drag it out, it would have been under.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. We're like, oh! When it was heads and tails, I had heads, they had tails, and they went absolutely, the whole house went bananas on heads and tails.
That's great.
And I'm like, this is what gambling's like.
Yes.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
You guys got to learn.
The highs and the lows.
Yeah.
And then they were like, hoo-ah, oh, and they're great. It's like I did it on a sheet. It was like the Oscars where you're doing only for Super Bowl where Alec is scoring it. And I've got it kind of in order of how it may go. Who gets what's the first play going to be, run or pass? So they got that. What's the first down come off of, a run play or pass play? The first play, past the 50-yard line, is it a run or pass? Longest touchdown at the end of the game, longest field goal, all that stuff. Well, now, luckily, there were not many offensive props at all. Todd Gurley went under and everything. Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Michelle Wolfson or whatever your name is, Tracy Wolfson. No, it was somebody else midweek ESPN.
Todd Gurley's going to be a huge part of this stuff. I talked to Sean McVay, guys, and Sean McVay...
This is in the midweek.
Sean McVay says what? That Todd Gurley is going to be a monster part of this thing.
Seems like
he's
going to
get a million carries and 100 catches. Look out, guys. Todd McVay, everything in the world. Put everything in the world you have on over for everything on Todd Gurley. Wrong.
When did Motti start...
Wrong.
Reporting for ESPN.
Under and everything.
That's his voice when he wants to degrade a woman's opinion.
Yeah, apparently.
Under and everything.
Apparently.
Yeah, well, you know what? Give me some good information.
When are you gonna,
bad information.
Well, that's
when are you going to do your Chinese
voice?
Was
given.
Huh?
That was the information she was given, you know, by the coach.
Then decipher. Then don't just run with everything you're given.
He's just upset.
When are you doing your Chinese voice now?
Yeah, now that you're...
Yeah.
Hey, and guys, also here's this. Play everything you've got on over catches 3.5 on Todd Gurley. Mm. Going to be a monster she part of this game.
She didn't say that. She didn't give you gambling advice.
That's what you read between the lines. And C.J. Anderson had as many or more catches than Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley basically stopped playing football in the postseason.
Apparently.
He was basically.
It's got to be his knee.
Like, how can. It has to
it
be.
It has to be.
How can you be that big a non factor? If so, then everybody who is a running back, a cheap running back truther, they all won in the postseason. They all said, wow, Todd Gurley, you paid him second contract. Smart. Look what he did for you this time.
No.
Nothing.
No, he did something. Something's up with dude because that was just ridiculous how little they used him. I mean, he had a couple of nice cuts. He had that one long run at about 14 yards.
The guy caught back on holding.
Well, you know what? Little Sean McVay, he got his ass handed to him.
Did you hear what happened yesterday? Cliff Kingsbury got fired.
No.
Yeah, they fired Cliff Kingsbury last night after Sean McVay got his ass kicked. They were like, oh, no.
We don't need this.
Never mind.
We're done with this.
Cliff got fired.
Yeah.
Every young coach under the age of 40 got
now,
fired who just got hired.
Yep, and Vic Fangio just got a raise.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Because now, because that's the way you're supposed to go on this thing.
I mean, little Shawnee.
Little Sean McVay he got spanked.
And also Goff, congratulations for looking absolutely pathetic. Like, Goff was not ready.
It was.
I had a feeling he wouldn't. This game was going to be too big for him. Not to this extent.
No.
He had no prayer.
Well, it's all. You know what? With him, it's all about play action. And if you're not scared of their running game, which they weren't. I mean, that was a good throw, and Brandon Cooks just dropped it.
Yep.
He should have had that ball.
He made like three good throws in the game.
Yeah, right. But he did wait too long on that one Brandon Cooks wide open in the end zone.
Oh, that was – he killed him.
He
killed him.
McCourty came over and broke it up.
He didn't see that deep dig route. You know, with Tony Romo there, you've really – if you're a quarterback, you can't like it. If you're a quarterback because your bad game gets even worse because Tony starts showing, look at this right here. Right. And Tony starts saying what's going to happen. Yeah, right. And you can't see it.
Yeah.
And it really gets bad for you. Like, oh,
yeah, but
no.
Now why is Zach Taylor now in high demand? Because he stood next to Sean McVay?
Well, yeah. And he's young and white. Yeah.
Well, guess what? Well, that's it.
Does he have good hair like Sean McVay? Probably,
yeah, he's a younger-looking dude with good hair.
Does he have a hot girlfriend?
I don't know
that. Sean McVay just got stupid yesterday.
He did. I mean, that was just terrible.
A sloppy-ass Belichick. He should have brought the hoodie out just for old time's sake.
They just weren't ready. They weren't ready for prime time. You know what? Next year, though, I would suggest. I would think that the Rams are going to be a team. They, you know what? Last year, their first game in the playoffs, knocked off. Okay, come back. Now they were better this year in the playoffs. Next year, I think that they're going to be. They got a chance.
And let's give our boy Son of Bum some credit.
I thought he had a great game.
He had a great game.
He did have a great game.
Tom did not do well. That was not a good game for Tom Brady.
No, he wasn't. He didn't look sharp.
Mm-mm. And Wade Phillips with, you know how I know? Because Tony Romo told me everything that was happening. I was like, yeah, you're right, Tony. What they're doing here is they're making man look like zone and zone look like man, and Tom can't figure it out. And I'm like, that's right, Tom. That's exactly what's happening right now, Tony.
Look, you guys are underplaying the biggest story of last night.
What?
Why is Tom Brady mouth-kissing Robert Kraft?
I didn't
see him mouth kiss Robert.
I put it on the rundown.
Well,
I thought you weren't watching all this stuff.
I think that you didn't see
halftime show.
I did not. I put it together after the show.
What'd you do during halftime?
This morning.
What'd you do during halftime?
I watched on demand something from TV.
I don't
TV.
Believe you.
You don't have to believe me. I didn't even watch the game on my TV. It was on my laptop.
Wow, that's disrespectful.
Yeah, it is. I told you I didn't really care. But it's on there. Tom Brady.
Your head coach is playing. Your head coach was coaching.
That's fine. I can watch him put a defense together on the field without having to have it on my TV. Tom Brady after the game and Robert Kraft are embracing, and they kiss each other in the mouth.
I didn't see. Where?
Put it on the rundown.
It's not. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. They kissed each other on the mouth.
Now I'm going to take a look at that. Oh, there they are.
I told you.
Well, Brady kisses. Oh, he did. He kissed him on the mouth.
He kissed him on the mouth.
He kissed him on the mouth.
What is going on?
Oh, my God.
The game itself was boring.
It's not like a... God.
Oh, don't do that anymore. You two.
I told you. That is the biggest story from this game.
It's not the biggest story
yes,
from
this game.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it
why
is. Are those two kissing each other?
Well, that's what he does with his son.
Brady broke the record.
What he does with his dad.
Brady's got the record, 6 Super Bowls. That's the story.
No, it isn't. That's he mouth kissed his owner.
He did. He kissed him on the mouth.
Like if Deshaun Watson
Deshaun
won the Super Bowl.
Deshaun and Cal?
If you want to see that?
No.
Yeah.
That's the quarterback.
the Texans won a Super Bowl, and one of the highlights from it is Deshaun kissing Cal on the mouth.
Black
good
Twitter
with that?
Will be so mad.
Did Michael Jordan kiss Jerry Krause on the mouth?
No.
It was Jerry, not D'Angelo. What was it? Jerry, whatever his
Reinsdorf?
Name.
Did LeBron Jerry kiss, Jerry what's his name in Cleveland?
No.
Dan Gilbert did not get a kiss
on the mouth.
Are you sure? Well, no, when he came back.
No.
No, but when they were friends again after the...
No, Gilbert...
No, you have to have six rings to be able to do that.
And Gilbert was more doing the whole tickling the undercarriage to get him back there.
Whoa.
LeBron wasn't mouth-kissing down Gilbert. I don't care what you guys want to discuss. Why did he kiss his owner on the mouth?
I don't... He does that...
Did you see Tracy Wolfson's face after the game where they were trying to interview Tom Brady and it took about 6 minutes? Like, she was there, here with Tom Brady! And she's getting jostled and there's a crush. Did you see that?
That is it.
It's incredible. I've never seen anything like this. So they got the high angle shot, the drone camera or whatever.
Right.
And she's like, Tracy Wolfson! And we're with Tom Brady! And then Rams are coming in as Brandon Cooks comes in. He shuts everything down. And there's a crush. Like, it is a lot like a concert where she's getting, like, everyone's just getting crushed. And I was waiting for people to start cussing, but no one did. Julian Edelman came and gave Tom a hug. They spent a moment together. And then here comes Bill Belichick together. Brandon Cooks comes in. All this stuff is going on. CJ Anderson, she can't get her thing going. Then she basically gets swallowed up by the crowd. They take the microphone from her. But they stay on the shot as Tom Brady is hugging people, congratulating them, and she's just waiting to get her interview, and because no one else is going to get an interview. But the mass of people, it is so huddled. There's not a circle around him. It's completely next to him. And you can see Tracy Wolfson's face. She was so pissed. She was so pissed off that she couldn't get an interview.
Good.
And then you hear on the mic, because the mic's open. He said, are you okay? The one guy goes, Jesus Christ. He goes, are you okay? She goes, I'm fine. Like, you can hear it all. It's the I guess maybe their PR director. They've got this rocked up PR director, the Patriots, or maybe director of security. I don't know what he is.
He's Julian Edelman's pharmacist.
I don't know anything.
Pretty much.
I mean, like I said, this is great. But there needs to be an investigation.
Into what?
You know...
The kiss, the mouth kiss.
Yeah, how does that happen? How?
Because did you not see the Tom Brady...
That's his kid
on the mouth.
This guy just went through Facebook Messenger just to say this to me. I don't have Twitter, and this isn't worth calling it over. But Mr. Woke, Dell, sure is sounding mighty homophobic level of disgust.
You know what? I'm not. Did I say I was disgusted?
You can't let that slide, says LJ.
Did I say I was disgusted? LJ, watch your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about. Did I say I was disgusted? I said there needs to be an investigation. Do these two always kiss on the lips? Was this a special thing?
Because and what if they do?
That's why I'm asking questions.
Well,
I would like to know how this came about.
Are you and Mr. Gow going to do this now?
No.
Okay.
What?
Because, no. Yes. Well, AJ's his daddy.
He's his boss.
Okay.
How is he my daddy?
He's your daddy.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No,
yes.
He's not.
Yes,
he's,
he is now. He
he's
is
your
now.
Daddy, then.
I have never, not that there's anything wrong with it.
I just want to know.
I just never mouth kissed my dad. Like, no. I told my mom, I remember distinctly when I was nine, I was like, I just don't want to kiss dad on the mouth. And she goes, that's fine.
Well, why did this come up?
I don't know. I just said it. I just remember distinctly
thinking,
it's okay to kiss mom.
You know what never happened in my family?
I don't know.
You know what never happened in my family? That conversation.
Bull, you're Italian. That's an Italian guy thing. I feel like an Italian guy would like.
No.
Yeah, because that's kind of like a mafia. The Patriots are kind of like a mafia family, right?
No, you don't kiss.
A little bit.
The Italians don't kiss on the mouth.
Five families.
No, kiss man on the mouth. No, doesn't happen.
I'm pretty sure. Somewhere in one of those movies. Really? Because what's his name did it to Fredo?
Oh, he did. That was brothers, though.
Yeah.
That was brothers.
Italians.
No, they're not. They're not really Italian. I'm pretty sure Pacino's not Italian.
Pacino's 100% Italian.
So let's take a break here. We got
that's
Shannon.
Not the number one thing from the thing, Dell.
I mean, we could talk about how boring the game was.
It was
Belichick doing what
mouth
he did
kiss
to golf and McVay. I don't even. It's not about I'm disgusted. But I don't really care about that aspect. I want to know, is this something they've always done? We just never saw it before? Was this a new thing? Or are they just so awkward and corny that they didn't know how to celebrate?
You really want an investigation on this?
How did this? Because the first time you kiss another man on the lips, like if you kiss Mr. Gal on the lips,
John,
wouldn't people want to know how did that come about?
I'm just going to say, I'm not for all this level of homophobia I'm hearing right now on the show.
It's not even homophobia.
I'm just saying that, right?
I haven't said anything negative. I just want to know how it happened because it seemed. No one was like, oh, my God, I can't believe Tom
just
kissed me.
Glad they're close. I don't have a problem with all. I mean, just want the record to reflect.
So do you kiss men in your family on the lips?
I don't. I've never won six championships.
Yeah. Oh, so you think that.
I don't know what to tell you.
So did Bill Russell ever kiss Red Auerbach?
I don't know what to tell you. Maybe.
That's what I want to know. Is it a Boston six championship thing?
Yeah. Back then, though, interracial kissing on the mouth? I don't know.
Which would be more offensive to people in Boston? The fact that one was a black guy, the other was a white guy, or that there are two men?
No, I don't think that was going on. Not back then.
In Boston?
Which
one?
Boston.
No, it's the first one.
It's the first one?
It's the second. It's the interracial kiss.
Brady.
Boston in the 50s? Come on.
That wasn't happening. Listen, Brady has so many rings now, he can fade this in Boston.
Brady can fade everything.
Anything.
Look what he's done in his whole life.
But if you're Gisella, you're like, today going, really? Really, Tom?
Tom's already, he already took heat for kissing his own son. The owner, he can do whatever he wants right now.
I don't know. Your son, I can.
From now on.
Maybe see.
Every time he curses or he gets after one of his coordinators, you go, you kiss Robert Kraft that mouth?
Tom,
actually, yes, I do.
Tom Brady can spoon snuggle Belichick, and it's not going to matter in Boston.
Do you kiss Robert Kraft with that mouth?
You kiss Robert Kraft
I do. They can have a picture where he's behind and, spoon snuggling at the. Like literally on a couch in the middle of their parade, and that's all right, Tommy. I wouldn't do it, but that's okay, Tom. Do it with Gronk.
Love your culottes, Tommy. Love them.
Wow, can't believe you're wearing only. I can't believe you're just wearing thongs and some Crocs. But that's okay.
But that's
Tommy.
All right, Tommy.
Six titles, Tom.
All right, why don't you talk about? Well,
there's no reason.
Julian Edelman might have gone to Men's T Clinic before the game.
Why is that?
Who knows?
Why is that?
Because he has a lot of testosterone. That's why he sat out the first four games of the year.
No, that's not why.
Yeah, that is why.
If it's naturally produced, that's not why. Mm. And I don't know. He's in his early 30s. This is probably not an issue for him. There are some guys in their late 30s who start having pre-testosterone issues, and they can actually diagnose that. That's why sometimes there are guys who are 37, 38, 39, and you think, well, I'm not at the age where testosterone should be an issue, so you kind of just ignore it. But the fact is, you really shouldn't ignore it because there's a chance that you are suffering from some of the symptoms. Some of the symptoms might include, if you hear one or multiple, this could be you. Lower energy levels, a lack of mental cognition where you just functioning a little bit slower. You just have that fuzz and that haze that hangs over you. You're not sharp like you used to be. Maybe a drop in libido, a drop in desire and drive at the workplace, a drop with your body type where your lean muscle mass starts to really get lower and lower despite working out. These are all telltale signs of lower testosterone. Get your testosterone levels back to where they should be and back to where they were in your 20s and 30s, and you're going to find that a lot of those things, same things, your libido is back up there where you were in your 20s and 30s. Your body type, your lean muscle mass starts to come back and improve, and you'll see differences after 2 or 3 months where you're like, whoa, this is really making a difference. And, of course, mental cognition, your sharpness there, your metabolism, it really helps in a ton of different ways. If you don't believe me, go to the website, menstclinic.com. Do some research yourself. But I'm telling you right now, they can get you back to where you need to be at Men's T Clinic, just like they did for me 2.5 years ago. Menstclinic.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, we'll get you guys in here this segment. A bunch of people want to get in. Terry, he's on his second tour of duty already. Shortest wait times in the history of the world right here on ESPN 97.5. What's your thought? What are your thoughts on the Super Bowl? Extremely, one of the most boring Super Bowls ever. Lowest scoring Super Bowl
it's
ever?
It's not one of the most. That was the most boring. And you know what? It was close somehow. At the end, just like all Patriots Super Bowls, it was close until they kicked the field goal, which is a smart move. Take your field goal. Don't take any chances. There they kicked it. Gostkowski made it, and it was over. It's like, man, do you know that we had one touchdown? Mm-hmm. We had to wait until – was it the fourth – do we have to wait until the fourth quarter to have the prop bet pay off who will score first touchdown?
Yeah.
I mean, it was the worst. I likened it when I came into the Butler-UConn championship game here, national championship, when it
the
was
worst.
Here. Well, we were watching it, and I remember in the first half thinking, they're only going to score like 14 in the first half. This is unbelievably bad. And this is what it felt
did you
like.
Did you catch Virginia North Carolina State's act this weekend?
No.
24 points. Scored 24 points.
That's like a Super Bowl.
Against Virginia Tech.
So I put a fake little prop almost up there. What will there be more of, Rams points or Julian Edelman's catches? It ended up being Edelman catches.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way more. Good Lord. All right, Shannon is here on ESPN 97.5. We say, Shannon, let's get in here.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing, Shannon?
How you doing, Shannon?
All right. Hey, a little three-part comment. I know it's a little long, but let me get through it. First of all, you had the Minnesota Miracle last year against the Saints, and then you had the Minnesota flop. And then this year, the Rams get in. And, you know, put up 3 points, but we're not going to go there because y'all know I'm a homer, so that's okay. Did anybody else catch, I was a little concussed with adult beverages last night. Did anybody else catch Randy Moss calling Robert Kraft Mr. Kane at the interview desk last night, at the post-interview?
Mm-mm.
And then number three, unlike the young lady giving you the information on Gurley, this is rock solid, I'm telling you. All three of y'all need to go and get stock on liquid paper, because there's going to be a lot of application of liquid paper and sniffing by NFL executives to erase the Sean McVay coaching tree from all these applications. Mm-hmm. Go get them, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, Cliff Kingsbury did get fired last night without ever coaching anything. Why do you have poker chips on? Why
I don't know. Just playing with them all.
You know you can hear them, right? What are you doing shuffling poker chips?
Just working.
Can you get your man's again?
I don't know why. Do you feel more comfortable with that sound because you're at Prime? You're always at Prime, so you feel like you need to.
He brought in like eight poker chips, $1 chips. Why do you have them with you? You're not supposed to take them off the table.
Because I bought them and I just like to shuffle them. That's all. So that's what I do.
You got a problem.
Yeah, he has a problem. He's there all the
We're
time.
We're in the middle of a show and he's like.
And now he can't feel comfortable without poker chips.
He's dropping them on the floor.
What's the matter with you?
Honestly,
wait a
minute.
Did you come directly from Prime?
Huh?
Did you come directly from Prime?
No. I went home last night.
That was a very reasonable question, actually.
It was actually
a very reasonable question.
No. I went home. I actually just. I took these from the show.
You made a conscious decision to bring them up to the station?
No, I put them in my
in your bag.
In my bag.
And then you brought them out?
Yeah.
For the show?
Just playing.
What are they doing?
Just to play with them.
So I would say this.
Just to work on my shuffling game.
It is not, that was not a good look for the Sean McVay is the genius. It was a slap in the face for all the geniusy stuff. Sean McVay is a good coach and all that stuff, but there's no magic. That's just a reminder that just because you've got osmosis working, or you don't, I should say, you don't, osmosis doesn't work with coaching trees. We saw that with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
We've seen it over and over. Just because you know somebody, just because somebody's young, just because, that doesn't mean you're a good coach.
No, I kind of feel like this is the Theo Epstein kind of NFL move, that we need all these young, smart Harvard grads that are going to change the game of baseball. That are going to
what
be.
Happened, though.
That's what's happening.
That's what happened.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Terry and Katie is next here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Terry?
When they revert, hey guys, Terry.
Good morning. Hey, guys. Hey. All right. As Dale mentioned earlier, Bill Russell won, what, six championships?
11.
Yeah.
11.
11, yeah.
Wayne, I don't know how many Wayne Gretzky won. I know he won
four.
Several with Edmonton, four, and then one with L.A. maybe.
All right, and then we watched Michael Jordan win second. I know y'all saw Jordan. I saw Jordan win six championships. Now we saw Brady win six championships himself. Do you think we'll ever see another athlete win six championships themselves?
Is Brady going to be the last one? Probably not. Probably not, although I don't see anybody up and coming that's gonna get there. Pat Mahomes probably, because he's the greatest player of all time. Pat, they're already Super Bowl champs next year. I don't know if you guys heard. Is anybody else? That is awfully difficult to do. I don't know in the NFL that's going to be a while before that happens again. Not in our lifetimes, probably.
Not in our lifetimes. My wife was really, you know, she gets in a lot of the different sports stories, like the angles. And we were watching before. She said, you know, I don't want the Patriots to win. But she said, I kind of do, just because of Tom Brady. And, you know, I was kind of there with her in the sense that I don't have any ill will towards Tom Brady or anything. I mean, I don't.
Great person, right, though?
I don't love the.
I don't know him as a person.
I don't love the Patriots fans and all this stuff. But I respect them. I respect the Patriots. But, I mean, Tom Brady's greatness, just to see this level of greatness, it's the same thing with LeBron. I'm not a fan of some of the stuff that LeBron does and has done as a basketball player to whatever. But as just a player and a talent, man, how could you not appreciate when you see mm-hmm. greatness? How mm-hmm. can you not appreciate that? And she asked me again this morning, but is he definitely better than Montana? And I thought about it, because I know where it comes from, because they don't have the physical gifts, and yet they still win. And I said, look, he got to 9 Super Bowls with a variety of different players. He's had a variety of different coaches around him, a variety of different receivers. He's won 6 of them, so it's not like a LeBron thing where you go 9 times and win like twice. So I just...
No, I was convinced this was his most important one, because 6-3 puts you in a different neighborhood than 5-4.
I totally agree. Yep. It just feels a lot different.
It's a lot different.
And I just, I couldn't help but think, it's just... I said, yeah, he is better than Joe Montana. I said, he comes up with clutch... And here's one of the reasons. All the Super Bowls have been close. And look how many clutch drives and clutch comebacks he's made. By any measure and any standard of greatness for a quarterback, he hits it. He hits it. And watching Jordan and Chris Solis and I were texting back and forth last night about, you know, we watched Jordan in his prime. We watched Tom Brady in his prime. And they're the same guy. Their level of competitiveness is what supersedes their talent. Their talent is high. Jordan's talent was unbelievable. Tom Brady's talented too, but their competitiveness and will to be better than everyone else, and then calm in critical games and critical situations, it's unmatched. It's mm-hmm. unrivaled. I've never seen anything like it. Not the way those two sustain their careers.
This played out almost exactly how you thought. I mean, you take Raheel and I had this conversation when we were leaving on Friday. And he had the Rams, and I said, I just can't take Goff over Brady. I just cannot do it. You know what? You got to take the better quarterback.
Yeah, you say that, and Gronk made his catch. Brandon Cooks doesn't make his. Brandon Cooks makes the catch he should have made. The game is tied. So I get what you're saying. What we know probably would have happened is Brady would have came back and led a drive.
Right.
Even if
Cooks makes that catch.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but the difference between a game being tied with 4 minutes to go, as opposed to the Patriots leading with a chance to seal it, is the fact that one guy made a catch and the other guy didn't. Yep. Goff was struggled. I'm not going to deny that. But he made the throw he had to make, and this guy let him down. The Montana thing, I mean, I don't want to crush Brady, but part of the reason some of those games were close is his struggles early.
First half, yeah.
And it happened again. Well, he wasn't terrible, but another quarter where the Patriots didn't score, another game where the Patriots didn't score in the first quarter.
Unbelievable.
It happened again.
Never scored a touchdown in a first quarter of any Super Bowl ever.
9.
Unbelievable. I think the thing that makes this one most impressive is we had Saints, we had Rams, we had Chiefs looking just unbelievable at different times. Then we had Chargers, and we had Gronk down, we had Edelman out for a while. Tom Brady wasn't the same. The defense sucked. At no point did it look like the Patriots were the team. At no point this year did it look like Patriots were the team. You know, he came back and won a big one against Kansas City. It turned out to be a big one against Kansas City at one point. Although they went in and won Kansas City again. They beat Kansas City twice in shootouts. They beat a San Diego team. You say whatever, traveling west to east, but they beat a San Diego team that had been a hot team. It's just they do enough. They beat a Rams team. They make a Rams team look bad. I mean, the Rams look really immature yesterday. They look like I couldn't help. Saints fans must have just been so pissed off watching this. I mean, I was. I'm like, man, they want to screw that call up. We could have had at least had the Saints in here. Alvin Kamara doing something. We had to watch the Rams with no Todd Gurley, basically. What is that? Mm-hmm. That's we had no Cooper Kupp, no Todd Gurley, and basically a little less scared version of Schaub in the pocket. That's what we were watching. I was like, this is awful.
It was terrible. 729 ESPN 975 713-780-3776 to get in here. Your thoughts on last night or anything else. You want to talk your Rockets or anything else going on now?
We had Tiger, too. Do you put Tiger in the same category? Tiger, Tom, and Jordan? Or is Tiger tarnishes?
No, I don't think Tiger tarnished. I mean, I think he obviously tarnished it, but that doesn't take away from what
his
he did
run
on the
course. His run was about 10 years.
Yeah.
His run was about 10 years.
Yeah. No, it doesn't take away from what he did.
Tom's is about
18. It's 2 decades now.
Yeah.
All right, 7:30, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No, you'll be hated forever for that one, Del. But I the slander before the show, I don't know if you guys heard, Adnan Virk got fired from ESPN, escorted out of the building. ESPN.
He's the one who did SEC Network, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he's one of their up-and-coming stars. He just signed an extension. They escorted him out of the building. Apparently, he was giving inside information about ESPN to some journalist. A guy wrote a book named Miller, something Miller, wrote a book about ESPN, and maybe this is what it has to do with. I don't know. The dude, Miller, did tweet about Virk being fired and about something about the information that he was giving out or something. But he's one of their up-and-coming stars. And what does Del call him? A sacred cow.
Yeah, he's a sacred cow. He was at ESPN. And what's your point?
Hindu.
He's not Hindu. He's actually Pakistani. So thank you. I told you.
You know what? He's probably right because I know he's looked this up
but
now.
In Pakistan, can you eat cows?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
I don't think, no. Raheel's from Pakistan. He eats cow.
He's Canadian.
Pakistani and Canadian, yes.
No, I can't.
I'm not
Canadian,
sure about all this.
So, sacred cow. Sure.
How old is he? Oh, he's 40 years old. Yeah, man, he got fired. Wow.
Yeah. No, escorted out. Like, beat it. Like, you can't take any more of our information. Holy crap. He's a spy. He was one of their up-and-coming stars.
Well, you can't be talking about
So, why would he go against the family like that if he was one of their guys?
Not smart.
No, it's not smart.
Not smart to leak all the stuff.
No.
Let's get Peter Burns on to talk about it. Peter Burns like...
Okay, so
I'm not talking.
All right, so Tiny is here. I don't know how he's still alive because they had a Mardi Gras. They had a Tiny? I got invited to this, and then I had to go. Wait a minute! It's Super Bowl weekend. Are you nuts? They had a Mardi Gras Saturday night party. Who has first of all, it's a month till Mardi Gras, and you all are having a Mardi Gras party. Well, secondly, who does it before the Super Bowl, Tiny?
Well, luckily as Saints fans, we got lucky because we didn't watch that piss poor game yesterday anyway. Well, a lot of them didn't. I got home. Well, check this out, first of all, because yesterday we're cleaning up the ballroom, right? I completely forget it's my wife's birthday.
Oh.
So I'm like in double trouble. So we're cleaning up after the ball. Everybody has their boycott shirts on for the Saints.
And y'all have shirts?
Oh, we all had shirts.
So,
we went second lining down the Strand in our boycott shirt. I'm not kidding.
So at church yesterday, just as an aside, this woman comes to church in her Michael Thomas 13 Saints jersey. on Super Bowl Sunday.
All Saints fans are so soft.
Well, they're wait a minute. First of all, dress up a little bit for
you.
Church.
Know what they did in New Orleans? They replayed the 2009 Super Bowl.
Did they?
Yeah, our neighbor across the street talked about it. Yeah,
down there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was big time. But let me tell you something. Roger Goodell did his damnedest to put the Rams in the Super Bowl, and you know what we got? We got Jim Everett. We got Jim Everett out of golf.
That's exactly what it is. Yep, that's 100%.
That dude played scared.
Yeah. How do you know? You didn't watch it, remember?
Well, I went home and watched a little bit. I got a little, when you put a little money on it anyway, you know, you got to watch it.
So,
but man.
That was terrible.
I just can't believe it. I woke up this morning, I was like, hey, the commercial sucked, except for the Chunky Milk commercial. That was pretty awesome.
What about the Game of Thrones commercial?
That was I didn't see that.
Mixed with the Bud Light commercial. Yeah.
I'm watching a Bud Light commercial because we had 100,000 Bud Light commercials. I'm watching a Bud Light commercial, and then I'm seeing what looks like mountains smash out the other at his eyes. I'm like, man, that's basically a Game of Thrones thing. They took down their own little guy. And then all of a sudden, here comes the dragon, and then you hear the Game of Thrones music. I'm like, they're basically taking everything with Game of Thrones, and then you realize it was a co-op deal between Game of Thrones and Bud Light. Yeah.
It was well done.
It was very well done. Handmaid's Tale was a pretty well done one, too. Did you see that one?
We're going to have a couple of big parades.
We're going to have a couple of big parades down in Galveston. You guys come.
No.
And I'll handle it and take care of it. Come on, John.
No.
We're going to have all – we're still doing it. Hey, we're Saints all the time. It's the Who Dat Nation, baby. We got the float ready.
No, we're not going down there for that. Okay.
You know what we're throwing? You know what we're throwing off our floats? Flags.
What are you throwing off?
Flags. NFL flags. Throw the flags.
Beat it, Tiny.
That's how funny is that going to be? Throwing off NFL yellow flags.
Yeah. All right. Let's get Casey in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Casey?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to touch on the whole Brady Montana thing. I have people tell me all the time that 4-0 is better than, well, now 6-3, but they would say 4-0 is better than 5-3. And I don't understand the logic behind people that say that. They're essentially saying that winning less championships is better, and it blows me away. If you look at every single Super Bowl that Brady has been in, aside from last year where he did have the ball with a chance to go down and take the lead and potentially win the game, and the defense made a great play, I'll give him that. But even in the two Super Bowls against the Giants, when he had the ball last, he drives them down, gets the go-ahead touchdown, and then the defense gives up the booty. So, I mean, he is clutch on top of clutch with that killer instinct factor, but
who are you arguing with about this? What's the argument about?
People like on social media, things like that. Anytime I scroll across a post by ESPN, NFL Network, anything that has it's anything pro Patriot.
I did see a tweet by somebody that said, he's 5-4. Guys, stop calling him Jordan. He's LeBron because he's 5-4, or he was 5-3 at the time, rather. And Joe Montana is Jordan. He's 4-0. There is something to be said for being undefeated in those games. There's also something to be said about how much talent those 49ers teams had.
Yeah, so that's the big difference is you have to look at all the factors. Yeah. Getting there 9 times in this era with there's no, you know, plan B for you. It used to be you could hang on to your team, your players a lot longer. The shortness of contracts now relative to the way free agency works out, your hard cap situation, it is way, way different now than what it used to be. You used to be able to hang on to players for a long time. You used to be able to load up. And that all changed in the it started to change in the early 90s. And, I don't even think, to me, that's not I get the argument. But Tom Brady has gotten there where it's gotten really hard to how many teams keep going in the NFC? If it's so easy to get to the Super Bowl, how many teams go in the NFC? Like you don't it's hard. It's really hard.
Oh no, it's really hard.
And just to clean something up, the Patriots, their loss against the Giants. The Patriots scored they're up going into the fourth quarter. The Giants scored late to, you know, win the game when Bradshaw tried to fall down and couldn't. But it wasn't like the Patriots had put together drive right before then. They didn't score a point in the fourth quarter. Right. So they were up going in, but it wasn't like he had led a big-time drive late In fact, they got the ball back late and didn't score because they didn't have no time left, but they were scoreless in the fourth quarter.
Brady, I don't really see there's an argument. It's not Joe Montana. And Joe's a great quarterback, but, I mean, Tom Brady, longevity, a level of play through that longevity, because I don't like to give people bonus points who just play a long time. You get points, but I'm not giving you bonus points. Like, you need to play great. He plays great.
Yeah.
Late in his career.
Yeah. I mean, there's some slippage on Brady right now. Yeah, there's a little bit.
Even his slippage is still
winning Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, that Joe Montana thing last week, I said he is in on a $75 million weed buy, but he's only got a tenth of it. He's got $750,000 of it. Okay. Yeah. Remember last week I was talking about $75 million. He's in on it. He's got $750,000.
Can you imagine in 1998 even, Joe Montana's put $750,000 into a weed farm? Like, oh my God. Is he going to prison? Did they catch him?
Yeah.
It's a way different time, isn't it?
It's a way different time. And I'm all for him. I'm all for everything that Joe stands for. 744 ESPN 975 713-780-3776. Come hang with us.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 to get in here to hang out with us here. You'll get on right away. Shortest wait times ever in the history of radio right here on ESPN 97.5. I apologize. $750,000 is obviously 1% of the $75 million deal, not 10%, 1%. It is actually Mardi Gras right now. It goes from the start of Epiphany and ends on Fat Tuesday. Yeah, it's not really Mardi Gras, no. Okay, you don't have a Mardi Gras party the night before the Super Bowl. That's it's just undone. It's not done. Okay, you can have all your Mardi Gras if you want right now. It Mardi Gras is actually like the Saturday before. That's what we're doing. We're not having a month of just getting obliterated.
Really, John? You're not having that?
Well, I had to do. Okay, it's too tough. Okay, it's too hard. Okay, you're going to get obliterated for the Super Bowl. How are you going to get obliterated the night before, too? And oh, by the way, right. This whole Bud Light thing. Screw Bud Light.
Oh, did you see? I don't know if you watched, if it was on your laptop. Bud Light basically slandered John's beer. And they basically told John that if you drink John's beer, you're going to lose your foot. That's basically what they said.
Apparently, there was
corn syrup.
What the hell? Who cares if there's corn syrup in there?
High fructose, that's what's making everyone obese, John.
Really?
That's what they're basically telling you.
Fewer calories and fewer carbs.
They called out Miller Lite and Coors Light by name. They put their logos on. They called them out by name. There's a giant barrel of corn syrup here. Let's roll it over to Miller Lite. I'm like, they just said Miller Lite out loud. They rolled it over to Miller Lite. We got your giant vat of corn syrup. Like, we've already got ours. Maybe it's Coors Light. I was like, then they rolled that big-ass barrel over to Coors Light. And Coors Light's like, yeah, we already got ours. But just to be clear, we use a lot of corn syrup here with our beer. Like, wow, they just slandered John. And then John said, and I put it on Twitter, I said, Bud Light just slandered at John Granato. And then John Granato had an ugly message for not just Bud Light, but all of Bud Light's offspring.
Yeah, and its offspring. Yeah, yeah. Do that, and its offspring. Here was Miller Coors' response. Bud Light uses rice to aid fermentation. We use corn syrup. Interestingly, none of our products use high fructose corn syrup.
That's a big difference.
Yet several of ABI's do. Things that make you go, thank you. And then I guess the Corn Growers of America got after Bud Light.
We're right down the street. It was basically a thinly veiled threat to fight.
Yeah.
Read what they say.
Well, Anheuser-Busch fully supports corn growers and will continue to invest in the corn industry, said a spokesman.
Oh, because the corn industry is hurting so bad.
Bud Light Super Bowl commercials are only meant to point out a key difference in Bud Light from some other light beers. This effort is to provide consumers transparency and elevate the beer category. Okay. Way to backtrack, okay, Bud Light? Not only are you terrible, but you're chicken bleep too.
This whole back and forth is trash anyway. Can we get back to like Bud Bowl where we had Buds and Bud Lights playing football against each other? Remember then?
Yeah.
Remember that? Can we get back to that? It was like a couple of commercial breaks throughout the game until the fourth quarter and we found out who won. I don't care about this beer nonsense. Get those bottles with their helmets on playing football.
Playing each other.
Oh, yeah. When I was in New Orleans, they set a number on that. There was a line, and we wagered on it in a sports palace and everything. Actually, it was Buffalo Billiards Inn. But here's what the National Corn Growers Association said. Period. At Bud Light. America's corn farmers are disappointed in you. Our office is right down the road. We'd love to discuss with you the many benefits of corn. Thanks. That whole our office is right down the road felt like a little threat that there could be violence if Mike, why don't you drop a pin?
We're right over here.
Why don't you drop a pin, Bud Light? That's what it felt like they were saying. I was like, damn.
Let's go.
I didn't know the corn farmers and the beer. But so that.
Get to stepping, Bud Light.
That all jumped off. We also got to see Chance the Rapper with Backstreet Boys. That happened.
Oh, by the way, Chance. I know you got a problem with the NFL, like you're not going to perform at their halftime show because of how they treat a cap, but you don't mind taking the bag for being in the commercial during the Super Bowl?
I want it dead.
You can have your opinion. But
for sale, how like you
not,
everybody.
You're not going to show up at the halftime of the Super Bowl, but you're more than willing to take the bag during the Super Bowl.
Halftime of Super Bowl is it's nothing. It really is nothing. Well, this year, it was a perfect fit. Travis Scott, we saw why he needs auto-tune so badly. I thought he was not great. And the auto-tune, he needs auto-tune. The worst, obviously, was Adam Levine, who was in on everybody's performance. Travis Scott couldn't do anything with Adam Levine jumps on stage with him. He jumps on stage with Big Boy, who Big Boy from Outkast is got the ATL ho. They have that chant, ATL ho, ATL ho, ATL ho, all the way off. That makes it on TV, no problem. Off the stage as he's gone, which had the internet excited.
Did your children think that was inappropriate?
They didn't. Actually, they weren't watching the halftime. They didn't care about the halftime show. Then Adam Levine took all his clothes off.
Yeah.
He took all of his clothes off.
Now, what was that about?
And he looked like he was on whatever Julian Edelman's doing, I guess a heavy push-up regimen. As I'm like, he ain't used to be rocked up like this. Like, Adam Levine's been trying to lift or some help.
Well, you think he just got his testosterone shot?
My wife's like, why is he taking his shirt off?
Because
he probably got some new ink he's trying to show off. I don't know. No one was really, and he was flat as a pancake the whole performance. I was like, he's not on key. It's just the whole thing sounded just terrible.
Yeah, missed it.
The whole halftime show was bad.
I didn't see a thing, and Lance is texting, Del, are you okay with Adam Levine appropriating?
Like, yeah.
I said, the F do you think I look like? I wasn't watching that thing.
He was.
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't see a second of it.
Missed it.
Now, did you see when it was Left Shark was going off?
Yeah, Missy Elliott and Katy Perry. I don't care about Adam
Levine.
That was
a pretty interesting halftime show.
I like Missy and I like Katy for different reasons. Both of them. But I don't care about Adam Levine or Travis Scott.
All right, let's catch up on Breaks Biscuit and Bud Light. Screw you. Next.
His name is Bob Light.
I know. For some reason, it's Bob Light. I think he means Bud Light. Bud Light's calling the show, and we'll get that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.